So here we are in Lent, a time of reflection, a time of renewal, and yes, a time when we need some reminders. And that's exactly what these two passages that you will soon hear will do. They're simple, yet poignant. Psalm 139 is one that often some of us are familiar with. It's one about God's presence and love and reassures us that we are made in God's image and that God has something to do with that. Pretty amazing. And then the simple story from the Gospel of Matthew is one that maybe some of you will recognize, Jesus welcoming the children. So it might not seem so radical. You know, children are nice and we like them, so why is it a big deal that Jesus welcomed children? Well, back then in Jesus's society, children weren't welcome, just like women, just like sick people, just like outsiders. They were pushed to the margins. Children were pushed to the margins. And so Jesus welcoming children is radical. It's amazing. The disciples are totally confused. Why are these children coming to Jesus and why is Jesus embracing them? But Jesus has the final word. He has a point to make. All are welcome. All are loved.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading selections from Psalm 139, which is on page 566. In the Old Testament. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. I look behind me and you are there. Then up ahead and you're there too, your reassuring presence coming and going. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And from the New Testament, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 15, and that's on page 20 in the New Testament part of the Pew Bible. Then the little children were being brought to him in order that they may lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands upon them, and they went on his way. May God add his blessing to his understanding to this reading.
If I shut my eyes, I can picture my room of my childhood. And there in that room hung a picture that looked something like this. It was comforting. Look at Jesus. Looks peaceful. The children gathered round. I loved this picture. I actually tried to find it in my basement because I'm sure I have it somewhere. Because it's a reminder that Jesus was radical and Jesus was loving. The scripture passages we read today were short, yes, but they were powerful. Psalm 139. God was there when we were knit in our mother's womb. God is behind us and in front of us and around us. God is by our side. And we should give thanks for that. Pretty powerful. And then that story about Jesus welcoming the children. Jesus welcoming the most vulnerable, the outcast. Jesus saying, "Come to me, don't listen to those silly disciples. They don't know what they're talking about. Come to me." And the children do come. Jesus has the final word. And it's love. Sometimes we need reminders that we are God's beloved children. Sometimes it takes children to remind us. On March 14th, just last week, 1 month after the shooting in Parkland, Florida, young people across our country walked out of their buildings. They walked out to make a statement about gun violence. They walked out in hope that their lawmakers would hear and would see. Some chose not to because of their beliefs, but time zone across time zone at 10 a.m. on March 14th, children led us, they walked. One child in particular named Brendan goes to a science and technology school in Denver, a seventh grader, and he told his mom that he wanted to not only walk out, but that he wanted to sit in silence for the amount of minutes that people have been killed in school violence since Columbine in 1999. Brendan sat alone outside his school for 3 hours and 42 minutes. His teachers watched him from afar, brought sunscreen to him, took this picture of Brendan sitting, honoring each child of God that has died in school violence since 1999. When the reporter asked if they could share this picture and Brendan's story, he said, "Of course you have to share it. People should stand up for what they believe, even if they're standing or sitting alone." Our faith calls us to be courageous, calls us to be radical. Our faith calls us to share our story and to share God's awesome love. We have a faith story to share.
This is not my face, but this is my story. I am a Muslim woman from Afghanistan. My parents raised me to believe that girls and boys deserve the same opportunities in life, the same education, the same hope for the future. But there are people in my country at war with this idea. My family was harassed. My father was killed. My sister and I now live in the United States. We are seeking political asylum, trying to rebuild our lives, going to college, still dreaming of hope for the future. And One Great Hour of Sharing has been there, helping us every step of the way. Because my family is still in danger back home, I cannot put them at risk by showing my face. But make no mistake, I will speak out. I will tell my story, loud and clear. This is not my face, but this is the face of hope for a new future. This is not my voice, but this is the voice of thousands who are unable to speak. This is my story. One of the many stories made possible by people like you. People called to put compassion into action.
Compassion into action, called to share the stories of God's beloved children. I love that video for many reasons, but one of them is because of those peace cranes. I always wanted to be good at origami. I tried a few times, but I'm not patient, so it didn't work out for me. But those peace cranes, I did a little research on what they represent and found this story of Sadaku and her family. She was 2 at the time and her brother was 8. They lived in Japan in 1945, August. A lot of us know what happened in August in 1945. They were having breakfast on a typical morning and their grandmother and their mother called the 2 kids in from playing outside. And while they were eating breakfast, a huge blast happened. They were thrown backwards, and when they kind of regained their equilibrium, they went looking for Sudaku and found her outside. She was blown that far. And when they looked up into the sky that was just a few minutes earlier blue, it was black. And things were falling from the sky. They were scared and didn't know what to do. So the mom and grandmother decided to walk the two kids, 2 and 8, to the river close by, hoping for refuge, hoping to find other people. They got to the river and there a boat was going down with someone they knew. So they got in the boat and they traveled to a family kind of sanctuary where their dad met up with them. I imagine life after a scary blast and no warning like that and things falling from the sky takes a bit to get back to normal, but it did. And Sudaku was an amazing gymnast and runner. And just 2 months before the 10-year anniversary of that scary blast, her lymph nodes were swollen. And she went to the doctor, diagnosed with leukemia from radiation, from breathing in all of that junk. It progressed quickly, and within a month, she was in the hospital, knowing, even though her parents didn't tell her, that she probably wouldn't live that long. Her father, trying to comfort her, told her the story of this peace crane and told her that it was a symbol of peace and hope, and that if you make 1,000, the old legend says, a wish will be granted. And so that's how she passed the time in her hospital room, making these intricate peace cranes. 638. That's how many she made before she died. But guess who finished all those cranes? Her classmates, her friends. They made it to 1,000. And guess what stands in Hiroshima Peace Park in Japan? But a statue of a young girl with her arms outstretched with a peace crane in her hand. A symbol of courage, a symbol of hope, a symbol of love. A symbol that we need each other. Sometimes we have to finish peace cranes. Sometimes we bring sunscreen to a child or a friend who needs it. Sometimes we hug and support through a really hard time. And sometimes we hold one another and we carry one another. Marissa Schemoller is a teacher in Ohio. And after the Parkland shootings, she was dreading going back to her classroom. She didn't know how she would talk to her students, and she didn't want the dreaded question, what happens if an active shooter comes into our classroom? But she thought about it. And why she thought so hard is because she is a 24-year-old first-year teacher who has cerebral palsy and is in a wheelchair. She knew she couldn't protect her students. She needs her students' help just to hand out papers or to write on the whiteboard. So she was dreading that question. It came the following day from a young, tentative girl who asked, what will happen if that person comes to our classroom? And she said this, I love you, each and every one of you. And I can't protect you like an able-bodied teacher can. So you get out, you run, you don't worry about me. I'll be okay. As the kids heard these words and they were sinking in, another child raised her hand and said, Mrs. Schemoller, don't worry about it. We've talked about it and we have a plan. We'll carry you. We'll carry you. Marissa wrote this on her Facebook page. I think my post has touched people so deeply because of the goodness it highlights. So often when there is a tragedy, it is easy to feel angry and hurt. When I was in front of those amazing kids, as they told me they would carry me out of our building if, God forbid, we were faced with a situation like the one in Florida, it occurred to me that every child, every one of my students, is so full of light and goodness. They know we're on the same team. Life won't be easy. Life will have its pitfalls and hard moments. And yet, our faith story tells us what to do. It tells us that Jesus has the final word and love wins. It tells us that we're going to need to help our friends and even our enemies along the journey. Our faith tells us that we are loved just as we are, humble and worried, arrogant and enthusiastic, that we are loved. We have a story to share. We have a faith to share. It is our job to do that. It is our time to do that. Amen.